Welcome to Inner Star Compass Healing Podcast, where I bring to you notes of hope for your healing. This platform was created to bring agents of change together to collaboratively talk about the different modalities and options for optimal health. Integrative health is more than a prescription. It looks like you empowering yourself to have the autonomy to select the nutrition that feeds the mind, body, and soul. The contents on this show and website are for informational purposes only and are not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, and or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified medical provider with any questions you have regarding a medical condition. And before undertaking any diet, taking any dietary supplements, exercise, or other health programs. This is Aletha Williams coming to you for another great, great podcast. Stay tuned. Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Happy Wednesday, hump day, right? This is Aletha Williams, and this is Steve Lawrence. All right. Welcome. We have a very interesting podcast, and Steve is going to be taking over, and I'm going to try to stop talking.
Oh. As soon as possible. I see. So I'm going to do a bit of a interview with you, I guess, today, I think a little bit, you know, rather than get myself, if you give me too much of the microphone, man, I just don't give me too much of a leash. You know, I can keep going. I've been noticing that lately. That's been my thing, like trying to make sure that I'm not speaking too much, but then I feel like, but there's something I got to say though.
No, the power of the pause is a beautiful element to get. And when you get it, it's just like, wow, that silence builds so much in the story. It allows the story to just flow more.
You know, one of the things that we did in my previous school, I was teaching at Shanghai American School, and built within their program, I wish I can remember, it's a leadership, it's like a leadership type of philosophy that the teachers are trained in. You know, I would give a credit, but I can't, something leadership. But they have these processes set into their meetings. You know, pausing is one of them. Where you're, and before we have the meeting, you actually think about, what am I going to focus on today? And be like, one of my things is pausing. Like, we could work better on pausing to make sure that there's space in the conversation, because we rip so fast, you know. And 100%.
Well, there's three different leadership that does that. There's that mindful leadership, there's the organizational leadership, and then there's that authentically leadership that's coming out, that's really trying to tap into the authenticity of each of their employees.
So it's common, and it's, so that idea is it's a common idea.
It's a new paradigm, a nice, that has been around. It started developing probably 10 years ago with like the Stephen Covey kind of guys. But then after Stephen Covey is when that mindfulness started shifting, the type of leadership that's coming out in many organizations.
So the conversation that we have on the docket for today is looking into exploring the authentic self. I have a couple of notes here, and just, you can think about what that means, exploring the authentic self. And if we were to pause, which we can do, think about what is synonymous with that? Like, how else would you word that? You don't need to share that, but just think about, right? Think about it. Let's give everyone just a second, like, exploring the authentic self. Like, what does that mean to you? So before we even have this conversation, it's important to acknowledge like that idea of like what it means to someone. That statement alone is different. So let's just sit with that for a second and think about the idea of exploring the authentic self. The question that comes to me is, who is the seeker. Who am I seeking? There's an interesting discussion that's happening now in the quantum world, quantum sciences. They're looking at the idea of consciousness and trying to examine that. And that's just a rabbit hole that even they don't even want to touch, right? What did it mean to you?
For me, what am I seeking? It is a knowing. So for me, the who am I seeking is a knowing within me that keeps telling me that it is in me. Whatever is in me is who I'm seeking. And so it goes back to the way I was brought up in a Christian Protestant background, where one of the Bible verses says, God asks, who do they say that I am? And Jesus says, I am that I am. And so for me, who am I seeking? I'm seeking the source that's within me, and I can't find it outside. I have to go within me to find it.
Leonard Perlmutter, Ram Lev, he has the phrase would come through him. The essence of it's just right there at the tip of my tongue, but what were you just something about it? Sorry, I lost it.
I am that I am. It is that which is in me that is me that I'm seeking.
That and yes, so okay, thank you.
For me, so the idea.
Sorry, honey. Go ahead.
No, for me that kind of reminds me of this battle that Earl Jung. Is it Carl Jung? Sorry, Carl Jung talked about Jung. With that ego, right? Or is it Freud? The ego.
Both.
Yeah. You know, the ego thinks that that's who he is, that's speaking to us and saying I am, but the ego is nothing but a perspective that has been created by our own mind based on our past, based on our present, based on our experiences, based on our social environment, based on our family culture. So for me, the ego is not who I am, but it is trying to insert itself into my mind saying that I am that, you know?
Right. You know, the idea, the idea that Leonard would present is it's essentially it's you having a human experience.
Yeah. You're a soul living in a human body having a spiritual experience.
Yeah, yes. Right. So you're looking for the you. You are looking for you that is you. Mm-hmm. You are looking for you that is you having the human experience. And being able to fall from some of the conversations I've been having recently around these topics, it's interesting. You know, we were going to have this talk, and at least in this situation, when we were going to plan on talking about it, you start to think about it and contemplate what are we going to talk, you know, like it's on your head when you're in a jog, you know, you're thinking about it and whatnot. And it's been coming up quite a bit that this idea of coming on, like you have that idea of the thinking and the ego, you know, and so much of this conversation, it's so difficult and nuanced because to some extent one group would say that the ego isn't you, right? It's not
right.
However, in my experience with it, it sure as hell feels like it is. and I experience the consequences of its choices in what it does. So don't tell me it's not real in that, you know, because it feels it, you know. So it's like, but still, nonetheless, there's those, like you mentioned, the ideas of the upbringing and the structures that are put in the lenses, you know, which even impacted our conversation from the start when you're talking about like how different people could see this, you know.
Yeah.
It's so in one sense we're talking about that whole construct of the personality, right? And we love it's often mentioned the root of the idea of personality, the root of the word persona, right? Masks, from Latin. So it's these masks that we wear in different situations. And so much of what we experience on the day-to-day in the mental world, in the thinking world, is simply structures happening. Structures that are just playing themselves out.
Right.
In the conversation I had with a friend of mine at lunch today, we were talking this idea had come up, and in within three conversations that I've had today, between my jog of my Ileana partner in OPM and my friend at lunch, we were talking. What I had noticed was each of us were all looking at dealing with our life through the structures. So this idea of having power and having control over circumstances and whatnot, things that happen, that's all part of that thinking world. So how am I going to act in that way? I act, and how I act is determined largely by the structures that are there. So what I had to observe was I had to move the structure out of the way so that I could find breath and peace in my walk yesterday during the rain. And I was, but just because I was so caught up in what is the future going to be, right, and what choice am I going to make? You know, it's legitimate, right? Yeah, real.
Yeah. And all that, you know, I like to say, those are contrasts. I think Abraham Hicks used to say that, you know, despite the contrasts, despite the environmental inputs that are coming at us and trying to keep us busy and distracted from the moment of pause. And so this goes back again. It's funny that I said the pause, because I didn't even think I was going to say that. But this also brings back to that piece about pausing and being still and being quiet enough to hear exactly what's inside. And so when we ask ourselves, exploring our authentic self, who am I seeking? The first question, who am I seeking? So if we allow ourselves to pause and just hear ourselves instead of numbing, avoiding, watching TV, eating, keeping ourselves busy, social media, the death out of our mind, and completely filling our day and our mind with occupation instead of stillness and pause, then we won't know who we are. And we won't know who we are seeking, because I think, like you said, we are souls living in a human body. So when we quiet ourselves enough, there is a knowing inside of us that would tell us, who am I seeking?
I was having a really cool conversation with Ken Primus the other day, Threads of Enlightenment podcast. Shout out to Ken and what they're doing. He's got his cool online store, so check it out. Clothing and whatnot, Threads of Enlightenment. And, you know, this idea of being able to understand, it's like the process of navigation. It's so tricky, because there's also the seeker. That when you go into that space of stillness, we were talking about this idea that once you tap it, that place of stillness, that's a different vantage point.
Yeah, but...
And you're looking now from a different space. And the conversation we were having is, once that is touched, that pure awareness, the pure seeker, which brings us to the next question. First, who am I seeking? But the second is, who is the seeker? Who's looking? Because if the ego is looking, then anything that the ego finds is just going to feed it. And you're no closer to consciousness. You're no closer to finding anything. You're just the tail's wagging the dog, and you're just spinning around in the woods, running, coming upon your own breadcrumbs, ultimately, right? So by having those peak experiences, or those experiences that you're talking about of the stillness, then you start to tap into that, and then that becomes the looker, and the
instead of saying the seeker, I would like to insert the observer, because the seeker is always trying to find a solution to something, while the observer is observing. And so for me, finding my authenticity, I need to be observing and checking how things are inserted into my life, into my day, into my relationship with people, and observing the dynamics of that, and then seeing where my intuition is allowing that truth to flow through. Because for me, I in my opinion, authenticity comes with that intuition of flow, a feeling of energy flowing as we are talking. I am in flow with having a conversation with you. I'm not trying to control the conversation. I'm not trying to tell you you're full of shit. I'm not trying to avoid listening to you by looking all over the place. I'm here and I'm completely present. And so I'm allowing whatever you're saying to flow in me and see where in me it resides and resonates, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So for me, the authentic self, or exploring the authentic self and asking who is the seeker, I would like to say who I am the observer. Instead of saying who is, I am the observer. Again, taking that action, that active part of your being, and saying I am the observer.
And so you have it, we can raise that question, but to stick a pin in the seeker just for a sec, as you seek, so shall you find.
Yeah.
You know, yep. So clarifying who the seeker is, because there is an exploration that we're having here, right?
Yeah.
There is, I want to say, like, your point, I think, is the next point of where do we go from who is the seeker, then who is the observer? Yeah. Right, because then actually, as you're looking at who is seeking and what's the MO behind the seeking, mm-hmm. what's the fuel behind the seeking, what's the power behind the seeking, the intention of the looking is the seeking, right? And being able to understand that if it is only egoic pleasure, you're just simply going to be that egoic spiritualist.
Mm-hmm.
That's caught up in spirituality as your new identity.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just going to be stuck in the personas of identities.
Yeah.
Relentlessly, if that's what is actually if that is actually the seeker. Mm-hmm. So you end up again finding the breadcrumbs on the way back again, and you don't know which way is up. So being able to sift that out and to contemplate that, and it's tricky, man. It's hard because it's like the way that you know when you work with people in the therapeutic setting, and even think like addicts to understand the processes of an addict's mind, it is so manipulative. It is so unbelievably just, boy, it's a snake. And all of a sudden you find yourself doing something that you're like, I know in my depths, because I've told myself a million times not to do it. And then meanwhile, I've just justified it to myself again. How in the hell does this loop keep just, it's like you're just in a loop of just, right? So if that's where you're in the seeking, then you're stuck.
Yeah. I mean, you bring up a great point about justification and reasoning. I really, in my experience, when you stop trying to control the outcome and having an explanation for everything, because the seeker will keep trying to find an explanation for everything and trying to know so that he or she can walk into the next day knowing. But if you just
with power, right? Exactly.
So if you can let go of control, surrender to the power of unknowing or the unknown, when you are in the unknown, now you become the observer.
And then you find yourself. Then you're a step closer, actually.
Yeah. You said the word breadcrumbs. So in the unknown, life starts throwing you these breadcrumbs that just shows up. Like in a radio music or a podcast you're listening to, or if you're like, for me, my son, oh my gosh, I have so many Duncanism, because I'm like, did he just say that? He's only 17, but he is such a wise old soul. But sometimes the breadcrumbs just show up, right? And integrates with you. If you are observing. And but it goes back to the authentic part. And we have to ask ourselves some questions. Who are you when you're being authentic?
What is authentic?
What is authentic? So let's ask ourselves again. Let's ask that question. What do you
think? Okay, so if it's a sticky one, man. Like, I don't want to get back down to, and we won't go back down into unexplored territory. The only other thing that I would add to the, I don't want to go back down the track of explored territory, but I would just add that we also have the biological part, the physical part. Just to touch on quick, you know, we often identify with the body. I am this, so this is where this is all part of it. And I like the analogy of Socrates, who's, you know, mentioning know thyself, you know, to bring that back around again. But so the story says, don't know how true it is, but I had heard this said that when he took the poison and it worked through his body, he would add, he said something like, so the tale goes, I don't even know if it's actually accurate, like I said, but he says, my legs are, he had to drink the hemlock, right? Socrates was sentenced to death, so he had to drink the hemlock. So as he drinks the poison to die, he's saying, I don't feel my legs, but I am not less. I'm feeling my body numb, but I'm not less.
But I'm not less.
I'm not less. Yeah, so he started to then, and if he didn't, maybe he knew it already, but in that analogy or in that story, myth, then we contemplate this idea that yes, we do consider ourselves, we might psychologically, intellectually say, okay, I'm spirit, all right, I'm not the body. However, you are the body, that's a fact. You're the body just as much as you are the ego, in a sense. Right? Eternally, on the deepest levels, you can say, okay, yeah, well, you're not, because you're not, you're simply just the pure consciousness. But even scientists, and I don't mean to, like, it deserves its due diligence, because we don't know the answer, right? Mm-hmm. To what extent are we the mind and the body and all of the mechanisms working together actually to bring about the, right? So, you know, tell anybody that is very terminally sick that they're not the body. It's like, okay, yes, I can understand that, but still, nonetheless, I'm experiencing this. So it is part of me in a sense of it's part of an experience, no less than the mind is part of the experience. So therefore, yes, it is part of the authenticity of you, because that if you're talking about authentic self, then you can't dismiss the body and the beauty of it. Oh, you wouldn't want to.
Yeah.
Or the mind and the beauty of it. Right.
Yeah.
So the authentic self is not anything, in my opinion, it's not absent of those other things. Mm-hmm. And I certainly wouldn't think that you were suggesting that in any way whatsoever.
Oh, no. If you think about what Stephen Covey and I think Wayne Dyer said, this begin with the end in mind. So if I were to think about the authentic self, I'm going to begin with the end in mind. I'm going to begin with my death. I am a human being that eventually at some point in life, I'm going to die. And knowing that I'm going to die, how can I show up every day and be truthful to myself as I feel it, as I see it, as I act it? And that is what my authenticity is. How can I live my life until my death, speaking the truth about things that are in alignment with my soul? And if some things aren't in alignment in my soul, then that's not my authentic self. So for instance, you know that I had a recent divorce. For 20 years, I was not in alignment with that relationship. And for 10 years, I tried to go through a divorce and it didn't happen because there was so much resistance on his part. And I had to figure it out, the dynamics with the kids and stuff to release that relationship, because the relationship wasn't creating my best self. I wasn't showing up my best self when I was with that person. And so, again, thinking about my death, but then how can I show up every day being my best self?
Being authentic. Being authentic. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And to I wonder what the root of authentic is. I would imagine it's Latin and the root would be pure. You know, something along, I would think, you know, something around that, the etymology, the ideology of words is really, I find it super interesting, because you can learn a lot about what it means, you know, these words and phrases that we toss around that have a very profound element to them. So if you were to think about, like, if they just, let's go synonym, you know, authentic, would I would think pure, clean, it, right? Truth. Like it would be true. And it'd be an expression of
flow.
Truth, right?
Flow. Mm.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And, so part of getting to that point is having clarity of mind, clarity of thinking, working, being able to work through the process of the mind.
Yeah.
In order to observe it in its processes and have a healthy relationship with it.
Yeah. And it goes back to that. And this is what they're telling me right now. And is, you know, I'm very intuitive. When I listen to what the spirits are saying. They keep saying it goes back to that word, surrendering, and surrendering to the unknown and just tapping into the breadcrumbs that of clues that they keep leaving us. So being authentic doesn't mean that you're, you know, when we talk about authenticity, kind of makes us an individual, right? But that's not true. Being authentic means that you want to think about the collective and how can you show up in the environment that's around you and still be yourself. So
an authentic car tire is still a car tire. You know, that's what it is.
Yeah. And so I have this, I wrote this thing down right here, Steve. We are a part of a large collective that teaches us our purpose in life. Evolving our souls, we are to grow and evolve. So we are souls having a human experience. And you said that before. So we are, I want to go back to that first part, is we are a large part of a collective. And how can we be a part of the collective, speak our truth, live our truth, and still show up our best self and respect those around us with their authentic energy and self, you know?
The idea of another idea that came up today and comes up now is the quote, to be the person that you've always wanted to be. To be the person that you've always wanted to be. Mm. And if we want to think about not egoically, right? This is where we get down to the root. Who is it that you really, really want to be? And most, I think, would be, I would want to be the best version of myself. I think at the root, that's where most people are. And if there's not, then they're just nihilistic. But they really down, they might not all want to admit it, but you really want to be the best version of yourself, right? Mm-hmm. To be your best self. So, but you might not be who you want to be, like, right? And that might be literally a truth. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like this is not who I want to be. I don't want to be this person right now. I'm going through something. I'm sick. I'm experiencing, you know, clinical depression, or I'm dealing with something, you know, and it's what any a host of things, and the person that I want to be doesn't have this, so I can't, you know. But the question would then be, who would the person that you want to be? How would that person handle this? How would they look at this? Yeah. And then they probably would say they would overcome it. They would see it as an obstacle and I would fight through that. That's the person that I would want to be, would do that. Okay, cool. What's preventing you from being able to do that now? Right. So it harkens to what you're saying. In the passage of the reading that I had mentioned earlier for the day, it was talking about surrendering. And we usually get stuck in surrender around when we're suffering. That's when you're kind of like, okay, I'm gonna like let God handle. Right. Like we lose somebody very special. And it's like, well, God has a bigger plan. So that's when we surrender. But we don't surrender on the day to day. And I'm not trying to conflate two ideas, but the day to day little things, we don't surrender. The question is, why don't we surrender to our authentic selves of being present and letting just the world and the universe work? And anyway, take the steps that we need to take, but not sweat it. right? Mm-hmm. And we sweat it because that's when we're stuck in that locked mechanism of within the mind, of the programming, within the even the evolutionary neurological processing that needs to respond to keep us alive, you know, our ambitions. So when I was discussing these ideas earlier with my other friends and in my walk, I just keep bringing that up because it's interesting to see as you're talking about the breadcrumbs, right? I'm trying to like stick with that little breadcrumb idea. So going through that walk, when I was able to observe the function of the mind that was looking at the future,
right?
That was the root of the anxiety and the tension, right? Mm-hmm. So when I'm able to see it, let it go and move out of the way, there was this, all of a sudden a stillness that came. Mm. Ah, yes. Okay. Now I'm here in the rain walking. Bang. Mm. I can feel the breeze. Boom. It just clicked in. Okay. But I don't. So then I did contemplate, why did that happen? Well, that's just the mechanism of the ambition.
Mm-hmm.
I want, there's something that's pushing me. My authentic self is driving towards something to accomplish a very profound goal for my life's calling. So as that fuel is kicking in, the processes that are happening up in the head are natural to be looking into the future, but you got to come out of that. That's not me, but it is me having the experience. That's the human experience. That's still part of the authentic self. So that the authenticity is being able to navigate that skillfully. Mm-hmm. And that's where the life practice comes in.
Surrender is different than acceptance.
Yes. And that's contentment is different than satisfaction. Contentment is different than satisfaction.
Yeah. I'm going to put that on there too, if I can.
Nice.
Contentment. Contentment is different
than satisfaction. And
satisfaction. I love it because, you know, there's just so much going on. And there's a couple of things that you said. The need to control. But then I came back and say, well, the need to not know. So the human body, naturally, because of the way we have been brought up, either by generations, by our parents, by society, and by what the time of the age is, what the pressures of the outside is conditioned in our frame and perspective, we're conditioning ourselves with this need to control things. Because if we know, then we won't be overwhelmed or nervous or afraid, or we don't, you know. So when we let go and surrender to the unknown and just allow life to flow, to go with life, then basically the authenticity is going to start showing up because life is going to express it to us if we just open
up. The thought that comes to me there is, so long as you're doing the work.
That's so true.
You got to do the work, you know. Yeah. And even in the sense of like seeking the, as Leonard would often say, it's chopping wood and carrying water. You know, that's the day to day, man. And part of the chopping wood and carrying water is sitting down for the meditation. It's bringing that into the life in any way that it fits, any way that it fits. You know, it doesn't have to be the 20 minute in a particular posture in a certain way. And yes, ritual and practice can be a beautiful thing to keep the routine and the structure, because there's a nice play thing they always fall back onto. It's a nice consistency in the world of flux and change, you know, and we're able to hold on to something in a consistent way, like a mantra, which I've had for my mind for 17 years, I'd say. Right. And it's been around and it's always there. And the other day I was in meditation and it was just happening. And I was just like, that's so crazy. I don't even think about it anymore.
Yeah.
It's just happening, you know, but you gotta be able to take the step forward. And I think the authentic self wants to work. The authentic self is a constructor. It's a builder. Mm-hmm. It's a contributor, because we get such pleasure out of that and contributing to something creatively and feeling as if we're part of a whole. Right.
Mm. Wow. I love the fact that you kind of describe when you were walking how you try to get underneath the thought. And when you were able to do that, all of a sudden there was this peace and stillness inside of you. And so that is surrendering to the unknown. You know, there's a thought, but if you go underneath it, then you don't know what's on above you now, right? You're underneath the thought. And so you're surrendering to saying, I don't have to know what's above this thought or the next step, but you're allowing life to be. And so if I heard you correctly, Steve, this is what it sounds like. When you surrender to life, we become open to the totality of it. You know, being excited about exploring, like waking up tomorrow and saying, oh my gosh, what is today going to do for me? Instead of saying,
I was saying to my friend yesterday, yeah. I didn't think that I'd be doing this when I woke up this morning. I don't know. I can't remember. I was helping him out his house. Like there was actually he needed help with an Airbnb, cleaning it up. And it was just like, yeah, I wanted a day off away from the computer anyway. So it just happened to work out. And, you know, I was sitting there and putting in a fire extinguisher. And I was just like, I didn't think I'd be doing this today, but it's
yeah,
cool.
Absolutely love it. I mean, again, the authentic self says, I know people like to talk about the authentic self in the framework of definition of your belief system. What are my core values? But that's not your authentic self. Again, your authentic says you just have to explore what life is bringing and intuitively feel. So if there's thoughts that are coming up, and if you feel resistance, though, if you feel like you're going to argue, or if there's pain in your body, the pain is an indication for me that that's not authentic. So if I'm having a conversation with you and I'm like biting my tongue, I'm not being authentic. I'm not telling you my truth, right? So it's going to sit another.
You want to go into the, you want to go down there a little bit with speaking the truth. You want to go there and being able to know what, you know. I don't know where to go on this one, man, because, you know, people will say, we have the postmodernist theory, which is dominant today, saying, you know, there's no real truth and it's relative to the individual and whatnot. But I don't know. There seems to be some truths that seem pretty concrete to me. I think, you know, there's certain things on the deeper levels that tend to ring true. Where do you go with that?
Say it again. Say it one
so
more time.
So the idea is we're looking at like just speaking your truth, right? So again, being able to sift through what truth is.
Right.
So the modern theories, postmodernism and others, is there's kind of the idea is like there is no truth. Like anybody, you can just have an idea and it's true to you. So therefore it's just as true as my truth.
Right.
You know, it's hard for me to swallow personally.
Well, I agree. I mean, everybody has a truth. Again, though, because we have to, you know, I it's funny because it was more of an argument I was having with my son as we're driving to work. We get into these intense conversations. The 10-minute drive we're driving, we always get into these intense conversation. And today was pretty intense. But the talk about your truth, sometimes society forces you to sit in this framework of what truth is. No, you can't do that. So we were talking about showing up for work and being responsible so you can get paid, so you can pay the bill, so you can also get taxed and have a look. He kept on saying, stop talking about my money. I said, well, it's technically not your money. It's society's money, and it's just money. It's just a paper. It's just something that society tells us is the way we're living. And so we started asking questions, and he's like, that's a level one question. He's like, I said, what is a level one question, Duncan? And he pretty much is saying that's a stupid question because it doesn't matter to my truth. And he's right to his truth. What I was trying to ask him about, what would it look like if you were to go in there and not do what you're told and they fire you? That's a level one question because he says there's no actions behind the what if. I'm not, why am I imagining and trying to come up with an answer of something that I don't know about? the unknown. Again, he's like, why should I try to get an answer to it? Let me just be in the unknown and just live.
You see, but in the same sense, like, he knows there's the truth. If he goes there and doesn't do what he's supposed to do, and then he gets fired, that's the truth.
Exactly. He knows the truth.
So you may want to dismiss it. Yes. Yeah. Yes. 100%. We don't have to. Yeah. Yeah. So when we're playing with that, just as we were trying to understand, this is just from my point of view, I think it was an important consideration, is as we were understanding who is the seeker.
Yeah.
Who is being sought. Who's the looker? Who's the observer? Et cetera, et cetera. What's the fuel behind that exploration and inquisition, or inquiry, I should say? Then the same thing is when you're looking at the truth, then who is the determiner of that truth? So you may think that, yes, okay, I'm going to speak this truth, but that truth is a sin. It's not true. It's off. It doesn't make it true just because you consider it true. No, it's relatively speaking. And that's, again, you're no more, that's no more true than the ego is you, but it's still true. And it's still an ego, right? Now to you, it's true. So the question is, again, at what point does this matter? What truth is being spoken, and how do I determine if what I'm speaking is actually truth? Truly truth. And for me, I'm sorry, go ahead. You go. There's a question. You go. I'm supposed to be leading, right? Yeah, I'm leading. I'm interviewing you. Go.
I'm pausing because as you said that, I felt an attachment energy to it, right? So as you were saying.
How do you mean the attachment energy?
I'm coming from the perspective of unknown. Allow life to flow. Trying to find moments to go around the stuck points and flow. So if I say, who am I, and this is what society is telling me to be, I'm stuck. I feel an attachment to that because that is not who I am. Because I internally feeling because there's an attachment to the collective. My body is subconsciously attached to a greater essence, and my body is saying, no, that's not me. That's not me.
Your family can do this as well. That's an interesting one. The one that comes to mind there, the family is an interesting battle.
Yeah.
Because then let's talk about that for a second if you wanna, because I think that's where you get a lot of insight into who you are and who it's authentic and what others expect you to be. I'll tell you from my own experience, it was a bit of an exploration there. Like, I'm not who they think I am. And I don't know who I am, but I know like something's not right. Like, and there was a point where I started to realize actually I'm living through their dream. Right. And what comes to mind now too, is this idea in family therapy, the idea of resistance in therapy. Some people believe, some schools say that resistance actually doesn't exist. It's just like, so for resistance in a sense that a therapist comes to a group and there's this idea of the group agrees to a particular change or an action that's going to be changed in order to have something in the future have a different outcome because we're suffering from something. So what are we going to do to change? We agree, take a step forward. But within the process, after, okay, well, you go on to the world and go get them, and buddy, and then come back in a week and we'll see, you know, we'll celebrate your successes. Well, they come back and nothing happened, right? Because there was one theory that says there's a resistance to anything that's outside of homeostasis or what is currently considered to be the balance. So I don't want to change anything because I'm going to not, because I don't know, right? Or this other idea that if you're working with an adolescent, for instance, the study that I was exploring in the paper, in the investigation that I was exploring was working with adolescents. And if you're working with a child and then that child goes home, the family may resist the child being able to implement what they need to do because they see the child. This is fascinating to me. They see the child as a person suffering. So they'll unconsciously maintain a structure to maintain the suffering because that suits their image yeah. of that child. Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And we do this so subtly in so many elements. So like the idea is like, so how does, like, you know, the idea of the family and that whole structure, we're coming out of that.
Yeah.
That's a tough one to navigate, man.
Yeah. As you're saying that, the first phrase that came up is peeling away the layers of delusion. Mm. Because, our parents, those closest to us are the first layer, you know, the first wave, as I call, first wave to the illusion of shaping our thoughts and our mind as to what we think the truth are the way of life should be. And they've been around longer than we have. And so they are trying to tell us that life is the way this is. And it's funny because ever since my youngest has been able to talk and voice his opinion, he's just not in confirmation of life the way it's supposed to be. He's like, I'm going to allow myself to wake up and be authentic and feel. When I get up and something in me say, do this, then this is what I want to do. But then but he's also attached to society too. He's still attached himself to stuff in society like Xbox and crazy stuff like that without even realizing that's not his authentic self. So again, coming back to this peeling away the layers.
It could be on a Saturday afternoon for a number of hours. It could be his authentic self. Yeah, as golfing in the afternoon, my authentic self, you know, if I can get around to golfing with my old man, that's good.
Yeah. But it's exploring life and really finding ways where there is flow. So golfing for you is flow. And that's you. And you feel it and it feels good. And it reveals something to you. I like to think it's almost like a blank canvas where when you show up, you are tapping into your creativity. And when you tap into your creativity, you're allowing that flow, that positive inputs that are coming from your intuition and telling you, yeah, this feels good. And if it doesn't feel good, then there's going to be some stuck points that are showing up in your mind.
Let's take a step back for a sec. Mm-hmm. I want to identify, I think that we have truth, which we still want to make sure. How do we make sure that we're having, that what we're saying is actually our authentic truth, because we don't know. It may be an egoic trick that this is what I think. That no, this is, you're on a little childish fit right now. That's not actually you speaking. This is your fear-based, egoic, limited lens that's actually speaking right now. No, it isn't. This is my big. No, it isn't. It isn't. It isn't. You're delusional in mind right now. It's, you know what I'm saying? And then how does that, like, then going from there into flow, right? Mm-hmm. Like the idea of there's a relationship between truth and flow. I think we could definitely not even have to discuss the fact that there is, there just is, right? Mm-hmm. You're in flow when you're in truth. So one of the things that I was, that came to mind a bit earlier is this idea of speaking your truth, right? As you had mentioned. But the idea of the question of how do I know that what I'm speaking is truth? I think going to some of the ancient the yogic scriptures is useful here. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at something like asteya is non-stealing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're speaking about something and you're stealing something, you're taking something, you're gossiping.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a truthful speech. Ahimsa is non-injurious.
Mm-hmm.
When you're speaking your truth and you're injuring other people, that's not truthful speech.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So if we think about the idea of the purpose of, what is our purpose? Okay, so if we're looking at our authentic self and if we want to serve our purpose of being here for whatever reason, you know, I love what Eckhart Tolle says. He says that I may have mentioned this before, but you have to align your purpose with the purpose of the universe. And if the purpose of the universe is to have equanimity, not necessarily like, you know, harmony, but at least a balance between chaos and order, and the male and the female and the ups and downs and lefts and rights and norths and souths and yins and yangs, right? That if you look at the yin yang symbol, I was looking at it at some time, and I don't know if this is actually accurate or not, but when I looked at the yin yang symbol at one point, it looks to me that it's actually spinning, right? It looks like it's about to spin. Mm-hmm. And when that spin occurs, it's to eliminate the illusion of duality. It'll become one, it'll mix. Mm-hmm. And that's the way, is to work in the harmony of the duality between the two, to take that middle path, as the Buddhist said, you know? Mm-hmm. So when you're speaking the truth, how do you know it's not, it's truthful? It's because it's in harmony with the universe, which is balance.
Yeah, totally agree.
And your purpose is to be in alignment with that, which means that your purpose is to be in balance. That's your purpose of life. The calling is secondary. What do you do in this space is the calling. Your purpose isn't to be a teacher. Your purpose is to be balanced and harmonious, right? Yes.
So how can you start with being balanced? How do you get there?
I think you think about the barriers, right? That's the question. What are the things that actually get in the way, and what breadcrumbs do I have around me right now, since I'm so hungry for this? What breadcrumbs do I see? And now I don't see the next one because I just ate it and I got to do some work to take a walk to find the next piece of bread. And I don't know which direction it is right now because I only got one. I got 360 degrees of options.
You know, when you suggested this to me, I wrote down some questions on there's a book out there by Kurt Blackstone. It's called The Magic of Flow, I believe, or The Magic of Your Authentic Self. And I also heard this in Les Brown, when he's the motivational speaker, when he talks about this. And I wrote them down, and I want to, if you don't mind, I'm going to put them up for a second. I think I'm going to try. For me, how do I get there? You know, peeling that identity away. I have to ask myself, why? Who am I?
That's the question.
Who am I? What am I? Mm-hmm. What am I? And am I just this body? What is it that I believe? Are they really mine? It should be mine, not mind. Are they really my thoughts that I'm believing? Is this really me? Is this what I really believe? Is this what I really, really believe? And so when I journal and answer these questions, then I'm able to have a little bit more confidence and comfort knowing where I am in my authentic self. What do you think?
I love it. I love it. You know, I think you and I have discussed this in the past. I don't know if we talked about it in this podcast or not, but in getting to the idea, the realization of speaking your truth, it was a huge mantra for me in May of June of this year, because I was having a major transition from moving from Shanghai back to the States and coming back to Melissa and things. And there's a lot of dynamics and a lot of relationships that were shifting everywhere, you know. And I retired from teaching, you know, I'm starting the one pointed, you know, starting with the work with the one pointed mind, you know. So all these different pieces are moving. And this idea of speaking your truth had come up, and it was a reoccurring thing in my life in a number of relationships, and it had gone on for a long time in my life, and I didn't realize it until this year, the impact that it had on me. As a teenager, I would still as a man, I'm living it out in the head of the boy who just at one point just stopped even speaking his truth, because every time it seemed like I would speak the truth, it was just a constant debate. My family was a super, I love them all to death, but it was a very intense family. And sometimes, like, just speaking your truth, it was just, I'm just not going to do it. Just because I just, like, it's just a debate. Not in a non-loving way. It was just, I just don't, like, you know, when I play tennis, I stopped playing tennis with a friend of mine, 'cause I just wanted to hit the ball over the net. That's it. You know what I mean? I don't want to it's too long, so let's stop. And I got to hit the ball back again. Like, let's just play. You know what I mean? Let's just hang out and let's just be ourselves. I don't want to have to debate everything if this is my opinion and my feeling. So I would just not say it because it was just easier not to say it. But what was happening was layer by day by day by day, I was learning how to subdue my truth. And that was subduing my authentic self. So as I had come to this realization, I started to that's why this contemplation had come, where like, how do I know what I'm saying is actually my truth? I know what I feel inside. Right. It's a feeling. It's not like this ego. Now I can feel like crap if and angry because the egoic trip, and I'm just going to go on a tirade of egoness. That's not what I'm talking about. We have to be able to discern the truth of that. It's not what we're talking about. If I'm not, I feel like if I'm speaking my truth, it means I am telling somebody how I like my deepest feeling, and I'm not trying to hurt them in the process. Right. I'm not trying to be right. It's irrelevant. Their opinion to me in this, truthfully, I'm not gonna say it doesn't matter, because I would prefer that I could share this and we could still maintain a harmonious relationship. That's my aim. So I do care how they feel about this, right? Yeah. But how they respond is on them, not on me.
That's true.
That's not for me to work with. It was a very powerful discovery. And then I was all of a sudden, I was able to let it go. And I know if I can know down inside, like, listen, if I'm speaking my truth, I'm speaking the universe's truth, because I am part of the universe. The ocean is in the drop. So if I'm speaking that truth, I'm speaking the universe's truth. And then what that means is I'm actually in service to them.
That's
and
true.
I'm speaking to their authentic self. The depths of them is where I'm talking, because one voice is speaking to a different listener. And that's where I'm at. And I can look someone in the eye. I can just say to them, it's happened a number of times. Like, something, it's just, you know, if you're trying to be who you are, and some people don't want that to happen, you got to look them dead in the eye and say, this is how it is. This is simple truth.
Yeah. You know, Steve, that's beautiful, because it's so in alignment to the last phrase that I wrote down. Follow the energy, allow yourself to be guided by life, and follow the clues that show up in your lives. You know, that is just that's impactful. And how do we get there, though? We have to learn to be still and be comfortable with being still and whatever emotions that are shown up, right?
This is where I would recommend people to go back and watch the episode on the functions of mind, because it's a big one. With understanding how the mind is structured and how the mind's working, and being able to understand what function is happening in my mind at any one point. Helps you understand what you are and what you're not. And, you know, sometimes it needs to be served. But that booty, like we had mentioned before, that's no more or less you than the ego.
Yeah.
That higher consciousness is no more you than the ego in the structure of, right? And the relationship and in the dynamics. So.
So before we do our meditation and say goodbye, guys, Steve is going to close out with a summation. What I heard you say and what you say is probably different. So I'm going to let you take the honor, Steve, of summarizing your words, and then I'll summarize mine, and then we'll close with a beautiful meditation.
Isn't this supposed to be my show?
Oh shit! Pardon. Pardon.
Okay, I'll go. I'm just playing. Yeah. You know, the things that stand out to me. When I was writing these notes out, the first thing I wrote, and it kind of goes with our Instagram thing. I have this Instagram thing I'm trying to play with. It's do how you do, you know, and it's like different people and different meditative yogic or whatever they're doing to be themselves, you know, and having that over different images. And one lady was, it's only the backside of her, but she's naked sitting in a lotus posture. And all you see is the back of her. Right. And then it was like, you know, do how you do, man. Like, whatever, like, you know, it's about getting down to that space where you can just do you and let that shine through. Let the light and the ray of godliness just express as the flower is expressed. And don't, you know, when you get those ideas of like, I don't want to get something. Oh, I, you know, it's funny, actually, my nails painted white. I had just done that in March of this year because I had always never, I'd never done it. And the only reason I did never did it was because I was afraid what people would think. And I came to that realization and I was like, that's crazy. Yeah. Why the fuck wouldn't I paint my nails? Fuck them. White nails are awesome. So I'm doing it. And I did it, you know, and I was so glad I did it. And it's just like these interesting, whatever, but it was just like, now it's like, nice, you know, good. I don't know, whatever. I won't do it in a week. They'll take it off and I won't wear it again, but whatever. But it's part of that, you know?
Yeah. It's going to bring into that conversation of being comfortable with both your feminine and your masculine side of your personality. That's what
I think even below that, I think that like even beyond all that, whatever it is, it's just that's just simply how expression is to be expressed. Like Mozart didn't care what someone thought, whether that should be a C note or a F sharp nine. Like, screw those people. This is what I hear, and this is how I was expressing it. And it is what it is, you know. So how do you do you, and how do we understand what it what is the seeker, what is trying to be known, what is being sought at the root of it all? What is the mind's relationship to it, culture's relationship to it, biology's relationship to it, and sifting through all of that complexity is still an explorer amongst all of that. Who is the one that I love the question, like they ask, who's going to heaven? The 3-year-old, the 13-year-old, the 33-year-old, the 43-year-old? Who are you the entire time?
Who is you?
You know,
who are you? What do you believe? Is it your belief? How do you feel about it? So without further ado, guys, I think it is meditation time.
Okay. Let's gently close our eyes. Find a posture. Head and neck and trunk are straight. Become aware of the breath. Observe the breath traveling in through the nose, warm exhalation, cool inhalation, cool and dry in, warm and moist out. Move the awareness into the face. Feel the eyes and the cheeks, the cheekbones, the nose, the forehead, the chin, the lips, the jaw, the face that the world sees, that we see. And when we see it, we think of us, me. Notice that the observer can see the face. The observer is not the face. The face is observed. Move through the head. Inside the head, there tends to feel like there's a voice. The chatter of thinking, the structures of thought, they can be observed. If the thoughts can be observed, then you're not your thoughts. They happen. And you watch them. Move to the chest, the belly, and down the legs to the feet, and back up through the legs, the belly and the chest, and through the shoulders and down to the fingertips, and from the fingertips back up to the shoulders, to the center of the chest, There's a body that can be felt and observed. It's an instrument of movement. It can be observed. I have a body. Am I simply the body? I have a mind. Am I simply the mind? There's the movement of breath, breathing, happening. Are you simply the breath? The face. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I is the mantra. Sit in the stillness. In the center of the chest, you can hear the question, who am I? Follow the stillness. And bring the awareness back to the chest and the body. The face and the breath and the space around the room, gently, eyes closed. Let the body take 3 full breaths. Whatever the body needs. And with the 3rd exhalation, gently open the eyes and keep the body still. Become aware of the room, the body again, and the breath, and the mantra, the center of the chest. And lovingly go about your day.
Wow. Thank you guys. And thank you, Steve. You rocked it again. This was
you a too. Nice one.
Episode, and I really enjoyed it. So I hope you guys do a replay if you're catching the end of this. But leave some comments, like, subscribe. But we are ending this podcast on a great note, saying continue and being encouraged to be your authentic self and explore.
Do how you do. Do how you do.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you so much. And you guys have a beautiful, beautiful day.
Peace and blessings.